Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Carving It Up Live right here on Twitter, as well as the Carving It Up YouTube channel and the Grid Network YouTube channel. As always, I'm Bryson Carver. Very excited to be with you. Took the day off on Friday, man. It wasn't a ton to talk about sports outside of the men's and women's Final Four. We got a ton to talk about. Our first three topics revolve around college basketball. Two on the women's side, one on the men's side, and a shocking breaking story last night that John Calipari is not fired by Kentucky, but instead leaves to go to Arkansas. And I don't want to say it like Arkansas is some like downtrodden program. Arkansas is a very good basketball program, but it caught us all by surprise in the middle of the night. I'll explain to you why Kentucky will be significantly better without Coach Cal than with him, at least in the last few half decade or so. Getting to that in about 30 minutes or so. Also getting to Caitlin Clark and the aspect of her legacy. Everybody's talking about, oh, she's the GOAT. She's the greatest player ever after Iowa's loss in the Natty yesterday to South Carolina, who I'm about to talk about. But there's an aspect about Caitlin Clark's game that I think we are just overshadowing right now. I think she'll get credit as time goes on, but I want to be the first to sort of shine a light on something that she's not getting enough love and enough credit for right now as we sit here today. Getting to that in about 15 minutes. Also, my Milwaukee Bucks take is getting better by the day. It's aging better by the day because the Bucks are playing as poorly as you possibly could, losing to not lottery teams like top five draft pick level teams right now. Lost to the Knicks last night and are playing awful basketball. I'll detail why exactly that has been in 45 minutes or so. At the end of today's show, we got the men's national championship game tonight between the Purdue Boilermakers and the defending national champion UConn Huskies. Both have had phenomenal tournament runs. One can make a strong argument that these are the two best teams left. They've been the two best teams all season long, so it makes sense. We get 2-1 seeds in the national championship game, which makes me happy. I like upsets occasionally, like 3 seeds losing to 14 seeds in the first round. About Sweet 16 on. I want to see the big dogs. I want to see the favorites win. And that's where we're at. UConn and Purdue tonight. I'll predict that game at the end of today's show. Appreciate everybody stopping by to today's episode of Carving It Up Live. But first, South Carolina national champions for the third time in the last 7 years. Dawn Staley now becomes one of 5 head coaches in the history of women's college basketball to win 3 or more national titles. A couple of them, maybe you've heard of them, Pat Summitt and Gina Auriemma are in that group, select group of individuals. Dawn Staley now joins that. And South Carolina is officially a dynasty. But as far as Coach Staley, the thing that I admire so much about her and the thing that I think translates into her becoming such a great coach and having this elevated level of success for an extended period of time. You talk about an individual who obviously had a history of playing college basketball and women's professional basketball at a very high level, in the sense that obviously she was on the 1996 Team USA team that really turned the tides in a major way for women's college basketball. But when she took over South Carolina a little over a decade ago, decade and a half ago, they had a losing record, weren't very good, 10-18. And slowly and progressively, South Carolina, obviously not a college basketball powerhouse prior to her becoming the head coach. They win the SEC in 2014. Then they get to the Final Four the next year. 2 years after that, championship. They've been to a ton of Final Four since then. Championship in 2022. Could have easily won last year if not for Caitlin Clark dropping 41. More on Caitlin Clark later in today's show. This year, gets the Final Four, goes undefeated. Only the 10th undefeated championship in the history of college basketball. South Carolina pulled that off yesterday and did so in a major way. What makes Dawn Staley special, though, is the thing that makes all great college coaches special, because it's different than the professionals, in that, let's use professional basketball as an example. Steve Kerr, Greg Popovich, Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, throw out your coach, Ty Lue. At the professional level, a basketball coach at their core is more of just a leader of men or leader of adults, right? Their job is just to make sure the team chemistry is good, right? Understand what right plays we need to run at particular points of the game. But by and large, these are grown adults. They have families. They have kids. They have other business ventures. You're not necessarily, there are obvious exceptions. You're really not worried about them potentially going off and doing crazy stuff off the court. These are kids, and this is NIL, obviously, which I'm all in favor of. I love NIL. I think if you're making a crap ton of money for the organizations or for these programs, you should pull in the requisite amount of money that South Carolina and all these other programs are being able to do. But these are more wealthy college students than what we're used to at the collegiate level. And Dawn Staley is what all great college coaches are. In a sense, a parental figure. someone who you feel comfortable if you're a college player at the University of South Carolina in this instance, you're comfortable sharing your troubles with. You're, and I don't know Dawn Staley, but just the vibe that she gives. You saw the post game. She's very emotional. Her players were just all around her, just mobbing her in the interview with Holly Rowe after the game. Their job, a college coach, recruit, yes. Draw up the right plays at the right time. Yeah, sure. Be able to execute defensively and run an effective pick and roll. But being able to develop individuals. Not all of our players are going to be going to the WNBA. A lot of them are. Okay, that kid, what's her name? Cardoso was fantastic. Double-double, but most valuable player, most outstanding player in the Final Four. Tessa Johnson was awesome yesterday. Shooting threes, what did she make? She went off the bench. She went 3-for-6 from three, 7-for-11 for the field, 19 points. As a true freshman, it's about developing kids, about getting the most out of them, developing them as young women into grown women, as adults. That's what Dawn Staley does. That's what all great college coaches do. You think about Nick Saban. You think about other individuals, Tom Izzo. Nick Saban, Tom Izzo, Dawn Staley. They coach hard. They will get in your behind. They will absolutely push you to your absolute limit. And when you are dealing with something off the court, a family matter, Rick Barnes, in a lesser sense for my Tennessee Vols, same way. They will coach you as hard as they possibly can coach you to get the best out of you. We need a shoulder to cry on. Need someone who maybe you're not believing in yourself, someone to believe in you. That's Dawn Staley. That's Nick Saban. That's all of these great. Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo really gets those guys. Guys like Draymond Green swear by Tom Izzo. They love him. Players of South Carolina love Dawn Staley. She represents everything that's great about women's college basketball. Perseverance, pride, a sense of, again, we have not accomplished what we need to accomplish until we get to the ultimate goal, which is a championship. And that's what we've seen out of South Carolina. A dynasty now. Really, you could argue the next college basketball power on the women's side. For years, it was UConn, Tennessee, Pat Summitt, Gino Auriemma. Then after, God rest her soul, Pat Summitt stepped away from coaching due to health reasons. Gino and UConn went on a crazy run, won four straight titles. Brianna Stewart was kind of the flagship player, right? The main player for that squad. Won, I think, lost one game in a stretch of like 3 years. And then UConn, while still power, Paige Beckers, we understand what UConn's capable of, did get to the Final Four this year after all. South Carolina sort of stepped into that role, into that spot. And it's fitting. The SEC has historically been a great women's college basketball conference, and it's fitting that its next dynasty, led by its next all-time great head coach, comes from the SEC, comes from a former professional player, and comes from a leader of women. That's what she is. That's what Dawn Staley has been and always will be, so long as she's at the University of South Carolina. It's gotten so much to the point where I'm watching these TV shows today and people suggesting, hey, what if Dawn Staley, why doesn't she take the Charlotte Hornets job? I haven't heard this with Gino. You didn't hear it with, God rest her soul, Pat Summitt. You don't hear it, with Kim Mulkey. You don't hear it with any of the great college coaches today. Forget go the WNBA. We don't hear them being suggested to the NBA. That's what she's capable of doing. She's capable of making a talented group of women believe they can accomplish anything they're capable of. Don't forget, South Carolina lost all 5 starters. A year ago, this year, they win the national title. They've lost one game in a span of 3 years. That was again to Iowa and Caitlin Clark in last year's Final Four. Fitting that the best team from the start is the best team and the last team standing at the finish. Dawn Staley after the game, talking about the team that they beat and who will be getting into right now, Caitlin Clark, Dawn Staley, in a classic moment of pure class on her part.
And I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport, and it just is not going to stop here on the collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's gonna lift that league up as well. So Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games, and we appreciate you.
No surprise that came from Dawn Staley after the game. That's who she is. That's who she is. So let's talk about Caitlin Clark, who fell short. Iowa fell short in the national title game to South Carolina. Second year in a row, they lost to LSU a year ago, lost to South Carolina this year. I think we are missing the mark to a certain extent on the discussion around Caitlin Clark, and I am as guilty as anybody of this. Y'all know I love Caitlin Clark. Heck, who doesn't? Her game is an easy one to wrap your arms around, right? Obviously, we can see the range she has. She's the female Steph Curry. That's what she is. She, again, I talked about last week, outside of Steph and Damian Lillard, there's no player, men's or women's, that I want taking the shot Caitlin Clark takes, except for Caitlin, Steph, and Dame. Because when they take it, I'm like, oh, that could go in. Yeah, I've seen them hit that numerous times. That's what she's capable of doing. She makes her teammates better. She doesn't care to get involved in the glass. She's a number of triple doubles this year. Doesn't care to play good team defense. But the discussion today, can Caitlin Clark be the greatest all time without a championship? Because you do factor in, well, Iowa isn't UConn or Tennessee or South Carolina or traditional college basketball. Heck, Stanford in recent years, or really for the last few decades or so, a traditional women's college basketball powerhouse. They're not that. So people do factor that in, but they're like, can she be in that discussion without a ring? We can discuss that another day, maybe a few years from now, maybe when Juju Watkins' college career is over in a couple of years when she goes to the WNBA, because I think Juju is going to be special as time goes on. I think by the end of next season, she'll be the best player in the women's game at the collegiate level. Here's the thing about Caitlin Clark that we're missing. The fact that we are having these discussions, getting worked up about these discussions, I mean, getting into heated arguments on social media and otherwise, the fact that a comment that I didn't see as that much as quote-unquote hating by the great Diana Taurasi on the ESPN broadcast with Sue Bird, the two obviously UConn great guard players racked into the games during the Final Four. When Diana Taurasi was on with Scott Van Pelt, she said, yeah, she's great now. This isn't verbatim. She's like, yeah, she's great now. Let's see what she does to the next level. And people took that as, oh, Diana, you're hating, which to that I said, I mean, I'm like, Diana's maybe the greatest women's player ever. I don't think she has any right to hate or any reason to hate on Caitlin Clark, but people are getting worked up about that. I'm sure Breanna Stewart had her haters when she came out of the NBA, out of the WNBA draft in what, 2016? We can talk about all the haters of Breanna Stewart like we do with Caitlin Clark. We didn't do that with Maya Moore when she came out in 2011. We didn't do that with Candace Parker when she came out in, I believe, either 07 or 08. And I love Candace Parker, my all-time favorite ball. We didn't discuss that. Folks, this came in about an hour ago before we got started. Iowa, South Carolina, 18.7 million viewers on ABC and ESPN is the most watched women's college basketball game on record since 1992. Here's some incredible stats for you. Viewership up 89% from a year ago. Up, this is insane, 285%. Up 285% from 2 years ago's national championship game. The game peaked at 24 million views. That's like big level college football ratings. Most watched basketball game, men's or women's, college or pro, in 5 years. That's including NBA finals, folks. The finals, since in the last 5 years, haven't gotten what that game yesterday got. And this is the most impressive to me. Excluding football and the Olympics, the most watched sporting event since 2019. Wow. That, to me, will be the collegiate legacy of one Caitlin Clark. We can talk about her resume. Two-time National Player of the Year, all-time scorer in the women's and men's game for that matter, all-time single season record for three-pointers made in a season. The record was Steph Curry at 162. She hit 200. Now, some of that is Steph's impact, but some of that is just she's got the God-given skill and obviously the incredible work ethic to be able to take and make those shots. We can discuss if she's the GOAT anytime, sure. I think she has to be in the discussion. I don't think you can have a discussion about the greatest women's college basketball players ever and her name is not mentioned. I think she's earned the right to put herself there. If she didn't win a championship at a traditional power, okay. But as I said last week when talking about Caitlin Clark, tell me the conversation, casual conversation you've ever had outside of Des Moines, Iowa, about Iowa women's college basketball prior to Caitlin Clark that lasted over a minute. It didn't happen. That's not a shot at Lisa Bluter, who's done a heck of a job coaching that squad. Not a shot at any of the players. But let's be real. Iowa's not going to get even close to the ratings a year from now. They do with Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark is to women's college basketball what Tiger Woods was to golf at his peak. She has entered that elite and oh-so-exclusive pantheon of athletes where you have to move your schedule, especially if it's a weekend. We got a lot of stuff we got to do on the weekend. Like we want to, you know, chill, whatever. You have to move your schedule because I have to watch 22 for Iowa, see what she's going to do. I have to watch that guy, that golfer who's just insane, got the swagger personality against Caitlin Clark, shares some of these traits. They move the needle to the point where you literally have to stop everything you're doing to watch them. I don't think there's a single NFL player. Listen, I got to stop everything I'm watching to watch Patrick Mahomes, but for the record, NFL ratings bear it out. NFL's king of television. It certainly doesn't hurt matters that Patrick Mahomes is Mahomes, but we're going to watch the NFL regardless. I mean, these awful Thursday night games, these like Carolina-Chicago games in years past, get pretty good numbers, certainly relative to like big NBA or Major League Baseball or college sports games. She's done that. Michael Jordan did it. Tiger Woods did it. LeBron moves the needle. So does Steph. They don't move the needle like this. Not like this. And that to me, and I reiterate something I said last week on Wednesday when talking about this individual player. There's a lot of pressure on the WNBA right now. Because we know, obviously, it doesn't turn much of a profit. But they have a superstar coming into the league. If they cannot market Caitlin Clark, disband the WNBA. And by the way, Angel Reese coming to the WNBA. Cameron Brink's coming to the WNBA. Next year, Paige Bueckers coming to the WNBA. A year after that, Juju Watkins, she's coming to the WNBA. If you can't market these women, particularly Caitlin Clark, disband the WNBA. Get a new league. Like, that's my mindset. But when you talk about an individual who's brought new eyeballs to the game, the fact that this is, I've done Carving It Up Live for 4.5. Well, I've done Carving It Up Live for about 3 years. I've done the show for 4.5 years, the podcast. For the last month and a half, I'd say 7 or 8 of my shows, maybe more, either the first or second topic has been women's college basketball. I've certainly talked about it. Everybody's talked about it more than the men's game. I'm excited about Purdue and UConn. I'm going to predict the game at the end of the show tonight. Excited for the game, of course, the national title game. End of March Madness as we know it, this season. But unless this is just, and it could be, who knows, but unless it's an all-time classic, like say, for example, what we saw in like 2016 from Villanova, North Carolina, when Chris Jenkins hit that buzzer beater. Unless it's something like that, by and large, the women's game was better a year ago, certainly, and will likely be better this season. The shot making, the ball movement, the coaching, the chemistry, because these players, they don't go to the NBA. There is no one, or go to the WNBA in their case. They don't go pro after 1 year. There's no one and done. Get to build time. A lot of Iowa's players, they've been together for 3.5, 4 years. Caitlin Clark brought a new set of eyeballs to the women's game, and we are calling the great Diana Taurasi. Oh, you're a hater. We're calling other players. Sue Bird made a similar comment. Oh, Sue Bird's hating. If either player would have said that again, they wouldn't have said that about a UConn player, obviously. But if they'd have said that about a Candace Parker, for example, if they would have said that about Asia Wilson when she came out of the draft years ago, it would have been back page news if that. Her style of game, and I don't believe too much. I don't buy it. Oh, they play the right way. I think that's a little narrow-minded to a certain extent. Oh, they play the right way. But Caitlin Clark plays basketball the right way. She's an elite shooter, and let's be honest, that's what the game is. Because of Steph Curry, that's what the game is today. You got to be, unless you're Giannis and your most dominant player within 5 feet of the basket since Shaq himself, you have to be able to shoot if you're going to be a superstar at the next level. Heck, the collegiate level to a certain degree, although Zach Edey's probably the exception to that rule. There's always exceptions. She's a great passer, makes her teammates better. I mean, let's be real. Look at the two rosters, Iowa, South Carolina. This is a classic example where you got two squads facing off at the final round. You got the best player, which was Caitlin Clark. And then you go down, if you rank the players for both squads, you go Caitlin Clark, and then you go about 7 or 8 South Carolina players before you get to the next Iowa player. That's just reality. And you saw Caitlin Clark after the game. She had a press conference, and a year ago against LSU, man, she was in tears. She was sad. I mean, of course, you lost the national championship. You get this far only to fall short at the end. I watched her press conference on SportsCenter yesterday, and she was smiling. She was, down, disappointed, certainly, but you could see, and she sort of alluded to it, a quote like, they're just so good. Talking about South Carolina. South Carolina is just so good. I remember years ago, Brian Kelly, when Notre Dame was getting housed by Alabama in the national championship. And they interviewed Brian Kelly at halftime, and he was smiling. And it's like, okay, he knows they can't match up with Alabama. I'm not going to get pissed off at my players. They're doing all they can. That other team's just better. South Carolina's just better than Iowa. I picked them because pick integrity. I wanted to see Caitlin Clark potentially ascend, go through the entire gauntlet of the tournament to become arguably the greatest player ever. But ultimately, she didn't have the horses. South Carolina was better. And I think this is the first time. Then we'll go to the comments. Feel free to chime in the comments section. Let me know what you think about this or any other topic. This is the first time, excluding football, where after the championship round is played, where I am genuinely bummed. Like, man, we got to wait 7 months, 8 months for the next big women's college game. Like, this sucks. I do it every year after the Super Bowl. It's like, oh, this great Super Bowl, like Kansas City Niners. Oh, my good. And we got to wait 7 months, 7 months for the next NFL game that's going to be anything like this. I feel the same way about the women's game. I'm not going to feel the same way about the men's game. I really don't feel that same way about the NBA. I definitely don't feel about Major League Baseball, and I love baseball. Women's college basketball, the NCAA, whatever you want to call it, or refer to it as, they proved, and this is, again, putting pressure on the WNBA, they proved you can market Caitlin Clark. You can market these women. Question is, can the WNBA do it? I think they can. I think you have a superstar of this type of level. By the way, she's going to get drafted a week from today. A WNBA draft a week from today, 7:30 Eastern. I think it's on ESPN. She's going to get drafted. That's going to be a story. She's going to be playing professional basketball in a month. That's going to be a story. So I think they will be able to market her, but nonetheless, it certainly does put pressure on Caitlin Clark to be able to ascend to a certain level, be marketed to a certain level. So it is the end of one of the greatest college careers in any sport we've ever seen. And 18.7 million viewers. It's pretty good. Okay. Beats every NBA finals outside of 2019. Most watched. One more time. We'll move to the comments. Excluding football and the Olympics, the most watched sporting event since 2019. Caitlin Clark, ladies and gentlemen, that more than the stats, than the accolades, than the accomplishments, and all the points, the assist, and whatnot, that will be her collegiate legacy. Cannot wait to see what she does at the next level. Cannot wait to see the Indiana Fever's getting themselves a special player. Hey, draft next week, season in about a month and a half. Going to be fun to watch. Moving to the comment section, my man Mike Guido. Red Sox get 8-year extension to Rafaela. Looks like $50 million. Great. Listen, he's been playing good baseball. The Red Sox are playing pretty well. Playing pretty well. Only 3 losses in the year. Just took care of the Angels. Won a series there. So, you know, I'm just saying we're playing good baseball. I'm not going to be delusional, but, you know, it's nice to be playing good baseball and not look as bad as I thought we would. But same time, American League is pretty good. So I'm not going to get my hopes up. But listen, we you know, the Red Sox actually spend some money for once. That's shocking. I see the traffic we're getting on this particular show, I think, is higher than we've ever gotten it on Carving It Up Live. I mean, I'm looking right now, there's like 72 people watching. So thank you. Like, I don't even know what to say. I think I can't remember us getting past 30. So first, more than double that. A lot of that's a credit to women's college basketball. A lot of that's a credit to just you, the audience, tuning into the show. I greatly appreciate it. Hey, what the heck? Let's shoot the stars, man. We did have an eclipse today, after all. Let's even get to 100 viewers at some point live on the show. This is pretty cool. So shout out to each and every one of y'all tuning into the show, and share it with your friends, your family, and of course, be sure to take 2 seconds out of your day, hit that big red subscribe button. We're trying to get to 1,000 before the NBA playoffs start, which is, gosh, a couple weeks from now. So that's mind-boggling. So appreciate y'all's support so much. And yeah, really, it's pretty cool. And again, what's also really cool is just the Caitlin Clark story. Like, you see her walk off the floor and you're like, yeah, she got the absolute most out of that Iowa team she possibly could have. Point blank, period. Women's college basketball is back. It is one of the focal points of American sports moving forward. Cannot wait to see these women do what they do next year. Cannot wait to see what Caitlin Clark does at the WNBA level. Transitioning out to the men's side, and a breaking story last night that I don't know if any of us saw coming. There was at least the potential that John Calipari could leave Kentucky, that Kentucky would fire him. It seemed pretty unlikely Kentucky would fire him just because the buyout was going to be somewhere in excess of $30 million. That was never going to happen. But listen, I've been to Lexington. It's a very, let's just say there's some rich boosters in Lexington and on the University of Kentucky campus. Even for them, that's a lot of money just to pay a guy just to not coach your team anymore. But John Calipari left last night, and basically in the dead of the night, to go coach the Arkansas Razorbacks. It's a five-year deal. I haven't seen the specifics of the contract, but it's going to be quite lucrative, understandably so. It is John Calipari. He is going to command a large sum of money. And I'm just here to tell you right now, Kentucky's going to be better without him than with him. I've heard today, well, he's the all-time winningest coach in the history of Kentucky, and they've certainly had their list of great coaches. Here's the thing, though. What is Janet Jackson? You know the Janet Jackson song back in the day? What have you done for me lately? Well, not much in the case of John Calipari. March sadness is what I would dub it for Kentucky. So since 2019, when Kentucky got to, I believe they got to the Elite Eight that season, went on a deep run. 2020, they didn't have a tournament because of COVID. So from 2021 all the way to this year, here's what Kentucky did in the tournament. We can show you this graphic right here. All graphics, by the way, provided by my man Alfred Parsard Jr. All stats provided by our friends at StatMuse. 2021, Kentucky didn't even make the tournament. 2022, they were the 2 seed, knocked out in the first round. 2023, they were the 3 seed, knocked out in the second round. This year, infamously, 3 seed, knocked out by Oakland. It should be noted, we can show you the list of teams since 2021 that have more NCAA tournament wins as Kentucky. Not exactly traditional powers. Abilene Christian, North Texas, Loyola Chicago, New Mexico State, Richmond, Furman, Farley Dickinson, Duquesne, Yale, Grand Canyon, James Madison, Oral Roberts, St. Peter's, Princeton, Florida Atlantic. Those last four have more wins since 2021 than the Kentucky Wildcats. It should also be noted that no matter how you slice it, John Calipari underachieved at the University of Kentucky. There's no other way about it. You're there 15 years at Kentucky. Same level as Kansas and UConn, Duke, North Carolina. Pick your ACC school to a certain extent. Think about your Big East schools like Georgetown, Villanova. It's in that class. You could argue up toward the top of it, top three. I saw a recent rankings list that ranked Kentucky as the second best job in college basketball, only to Kansas. And you got one title in 15 years. With this level of talent, we can show you another graphic. Well, our last Kentucky graphic for the day. Here's some of the players Coach Calipari coached at Kentucky. Some of these names, if you're an NBA fan, may sound familiar. John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, who he did win a championship with in 2012, Julius Randle, Karl-Anthony Towns, Devin Booker, Jamal Murray, De'Aaron Fox, Malik Monk, Bam Adebayo, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Tyler Hero, Tyrese Maxey. Now, in fairness with Maxey, there was no tournament in 2020. Maxey was drafted that year. There's no tournament because of COVID, so we'll give Coach Cal a pass there. But again, some of the best talent in the NBA over the last decade and a half. Get one championship out of it. Coach K has one more recently, and he retired 2 years ago. Bill Self has titles more recently. Jay Wright retired a while ago. He has more titles recently. Roy Williams has a title and another appearance. You start looking down the list, and it's not looking so pretty. I mean, Virginia got one. Virginia is the perennial early exit in March Madness. They got a title more recently than Kentucky, despite an unbelievable amount of talent on these rosters. The thing with Coach Calipari that bothers me, and I think bothered a lot of Kentucky fans, is that he said multiple times in his press conferences, my job and my objective is to get players to the NBA. We can show you the players again. Are you telling me, see, John Calipari is the ultimate gaslighter. You're telling me that none of these guys could have gotten the NBA without Coach Cal, without Kentucky. Did the Kentucky brand help? Of course it helped. Certainly today, if it had these guys been around in the NIL era, it would have helped a ton. But they can go to Kansas. They can go to UConn. They can go to Villanova. They can go to these traditional powers. They can go to Duke. They can go to North Carolina. They can go to schools that, you know, win. Win in March more recently than Coach K does. I think it is quite arrogant to present this false idea that all these guys, man, they, and again, he didn't say it verbatim, but let's be real. Coach Cal, quite the gaslighter, quite the showman marketer to a certain extent. My job is to get guys to the NBA. They could have gotten there without you, Coach Cal. They could have gotten there with Bill Self. They could have gotten there with Tom Izzo and Jay Wright, Roy Williams, Coach K. They could have gotten there with those guys too. Don't present this false picture that only through Kentucky can you get to the NBA. That's false. It doesn't exist. Yes, he's going to Arkansas. And the good news for Coach Cal at Arkansas, my guess, expectations are lower. Arkansas, for the record, pretty good college basketball school. I'd put it on like the tier two, maybe at the number one, tier three men's college basketball school. They have a national championship on their resume. They've gotten to a couple Elite Eight in the last half decade, much further than Kentucky's gotten. But the expectations, let's be real, it's Arkansas, it ain't Kentucky. It's not Kansas. It's not UConn. It's not UK. I'm sorry. It's not Duke. It's not North Carolina. It's not these traditional powers. It's Arkansas. It's a good school. It's a school that's going to consistently get to the tournament, win a couple games, win a few games. But you're not going to expect them to be in the Final Four by any stretch of the imagination. At least in recent years, the same can be said about Coach Cal. That's not what he does. As the game has shifted, as the landscape, the NIL landscape of college basketball shifted, he hasn't really adjusted to it at all. He hasn't had a star player drafted in the NBA since Tyrese Maxey in 2020. We have to be honest about the overall outlook. Yes, he is the all-time winningest coach in Kentucky history. Well, Nick Saban won a lot at Alabama, too. You know, he also did came home with titles. And I heard, well, you know, the college football playoff, you only got to win two games, at least up until obviously this year. You only got to win two games. Yeah, Nick Saban also went through the gauntlet called the SEC to get there. He had to go through Auburn and Georgia and Florida. He had to go through these big name schools to get there. Is the SEC on the men's side a powerhouse in college basketball? Matter of fact, we kind of look at the SEC, we're like, they really get that many teams in. They're like, I don't know if they should have gotten that many teams. Like, there's like a bubble team that always feels like they got screwed for a mid-level SEC team. You know, in the selection process, you're like, man, like Pittsburgh or some Big East school, like, man, they're better than Texas A&M or Ole Miss or LSU or pick your school. And still, not able to get it done. As a matter of fact, last 8 years, winningest coach in Kentucky history, his winning percentage points gone down 11%. No Elite Eights, no Sweet 16s since prior to COVID. We have to be honest about Coach Cal, and we got to be honest about who he is at this point in his career. He's not a bad coach by any stretch of the imagination. Kentucky always got to the tournament. But I saw Shannon Sharp on First Take say it today, and I agree with him. I could get any coach to get Kentucky to the tournament and get bounced by Oakland in round one or get bounced by St. Peter's in round one. And for the record, part of the reason I say Kentucky's going to be better without Coach Cal is because, hey, it's hard to get a lot worse than what they've done in March the last few years. And also, as I talked about earlier, Kentucky, it's a really, really attractive job. If I'm Kentucky, first Nate guy calls Jay Wright. Call Jay now. My guess is he probably won't take it. He seems to be enjoying his job at CBS. And for the record, he's an excellent, excellent broadcaster for CBS. My guess is Jay Wright won't leave. I would contact Nate Oates at Alabama. I think Nate Oates will be very interested. Alabama's been excellent under him. We think of Alabama, obviously, as a football-first school. They've become, to a certain degree, a very consistently good college basketball product. I'd contact Nate Oates. I'd contact Brad Stevens in the Celtics booth. You know, Brad Stevens, I'd be surprised if he's still a relatively young guy that maybe he does have the coaching itch to a certain degree. And I call Billy Donovan. Billy Donovan, to me, outside of Nate Oates, feels like the most likely guy to take that job because, obviously, we know his history. He did win back-to-back championships at Florida in the early 2000s, or sorry, the mid-2000s. And right now, he's in Chicago. No disrespect to the Bulls, their fans, none of that. My friend John Rivera, shout out to John. John, please subscribe to the Fan Perspective podcast. He's a big-time Bulls fan, but they're the 9 seed, and they were the 9 seed last year, and they're in NBA purgatory. in every sense of the word, in that because of DeMar, who's still a really good player, they're not bad enough to tank. They're not bad enough to be the Detroit Pistons or the Washington Wizards or the Portland Trailblazers, but they're not even close to good enough to compete and get in the postseason. I mean, they may get in the postseason as like a lower seed, but as good as the play-in tournament is in the East, it's probably not going to happen. They're in NBA purgatory. They need to blow it up. You think Billy Donovan wants to be a part of a rebuild? Or do you think he sees a situation in Kentucky where it's like, doesn't get much better than that? Jobs like Kentucky, they don't free much. Same thing that happened at Alabama when Coach Saban retired. It's like, yeah, whoever comes in after Saban, it's just not going to accomplish what he did. But it is Alabama. Alabama in college football is the equivalent of Kentucky in men's college basketball. It is a glamour. It is a power school. It's a power job, power position that doesn't open very often. And only the best of the best candidates are in position to get it. That's why Alabama got Kalen DeBoer, who I think is one of the five best coaches in the sport. Billy Donovan was a great college coach. So was Brad Stevens. Nate Oates has proved himself to be really good. Again, with Alabama resources, give him Kentucky resources, give him those boosters in Lexington, he could be really special. It's hard to get much worse than what Kentucky's done in the tournament since 2021. Didn't make it in 2021. Bounced in round one, bounced in round two, bounced in round one this year. When they were picked by most, including myself, I should say most, by many, including myself, to get to the Final Four. Arkansas will be good. Arkansas's recruiting, I anticipate, will go up. They'll get some good, solid players. Maybe put a couple of guys in the NBA. But the expectation in Fayetteville is not going to be what it is in Lexington. Let's keep it real. It's just not. Expectation at Ole Miss in college football is just simply not what it is at Alabama. That's how the lay of the land worked. That's how it's worked really for the entire sport's existence. So I wish Coach Cal the best, no question about it, at Arkansas, but Kentucky's going to be better because of this. They're not going to get some low-level assistant and the assistant to Coach Cal for a decade. No. They're going to get a well-established college basketball coach. I doubt they bring Jay Wright out of retirement, but it's worth a phone call. My guess is it's either going to be Billy Donovan or it's going to be Nate Oates. Nate Oates feels like the most likely candidate to me. He's an SEC guy, so it's still, it doesn't have to move like cross-country or anything. I feel like that'd be a good fit for Kentucky. But as far as Coach Cal, I'm not particularly shocked that this was how it ended. Shocked that it came weeks after Kentucky's loss to Oakland, but it kind of fits. Not the best last half decade for the Kentucky Wildcats and an inability to evolve to what the college game is today. Coach Cal at Arkansas, I think it's going to be Nate Oates or Billy Donovan in Tuscaloosa. And again, you know you have lost a certain level of respect. Again, take this how you will, but as a Tennessee guy, as a Vols fan, go Vols. When I saw the Coach Cal news, I'm like, gosh darn it. I'm like, Rick Barnes, coach at Tennessee. Love Rick Barnes. Very successful against Coach. I think he has a winning record against Kentucky since he became Tennessee's head coach in 2015, right? So that's to a certain degree, I'm like, we'll beat Kentucky. If we were to beat Marsh, we'll beat Kentucky. And as far as now, if they get Nate Oates, who got to the Final Four this year, if they get Billy Donovan, who has two championships at Florida, two guys that have had a lot of success in the SEC, I won't be thrilled. We'll be thrilled as a Vols fan, but we do have a great coach in Rick Barnes. Okay, this says, just a little NBA news, that Charlotte has been granted permission to interview Sacramento's G League coach Lindsey Harding for the head coaching position. So it could be potentially that Charlotte, the Hornets, may hire the very first female head coach in NBA history. We'll see. It looks like they're going to interview her. Again, Lindsey Harding, G League coach for the Sacramento Kings. She's formerly the number one overall at WNBA draft pick and was the G League's coach of the year for Stockton and advanced to the Western Conference Finals in the G League. That would be really, really cool. Really cool. Okay, so transitioning now to the NBA, and there's a lot going on. There's the Bronny James going to the NBA draft news. My guess, and I could be wrong on this, I don't think Bronny James is going to be in the NBA draft full time, because for those of you that may not know, you can enter the NBA draft, but there's like a cutoff date where you can pull yourself out, like where you can go work out for guys, you can go, see what the scouts think of you, and you can go back to college. You can stay in the NBA draft. But we know the Bronny James thing. We know LeBron has been very vocal. He wants to play with his son, and there's the sort of added weight that if you do draft this kid, you get his dad, you get LeBron James. And Listen, he may not have much longer left, but you can't tell. He's averaging 25, 8, and 7 on 50% from the field and 40% from three. LeBron's still pretty good. Not the best player in the world anymore, but he's pretty good. But I did see a scout said that Bronny was, they thought he could be a good NBA defender, which I agree. Like, he's got an NBA, and he doesn't have the body. Like, his dad came in 18 years old, like, oh my God, he looks like an NBA player. Like, most guys, 18, 19, it's like, okay, they're going to need to put on some muscle. They're going to need to grow into their man body. LeBron came in like, my gosh, he looks like a 25-year-old grown man right now. So I think all those components come to the equation. My guess is Bronny steps back. He has into the transfer portal. We'll see where he goes. Who knows? He may go to Arkansas. He may go to Kentucky, depending on who their head coach is. Philip Chanel in the comments. What's up, Philip? Kentucky should hire Dawn Staley from South Carolina. It's worth a call. I consider it. That would be a fascinating move because, again, as I talked about to start the show, she is a leader of young people. When college players have the level of respect for you that they have for Dawn Staley at South Carolina, I think the whole thing, she'll be like the first female coach. I don't think that's even going to come into the players' minds, to be completely honest with you. To be like, if you can lead me, if you can get me to buy into what you're selling, the culture that you're building. But honestly, listen, I don't see any point for Dawn Staley to leave because women's college basketball has never been at a higher peak. 18.7 million people watched the championship game. Recruiting, we know, we've seen recruiting's done. South Carolina blew through everybody, went undefeated. There's no reason for recruiting not to continue to skyrocket for them. She's in the middle of a dynasty. She's got three titles. I mean, listen, she may consider it. It is the SEC, so she gets to still kind of stay in that in the southern area, but I think she'd consider it. And it is worth a phone call for Kentucky. Because, again, the bottom line for the Wildcats is this. They're going to pull in a superstar coach. There's no doubt about it. This isn't going to be like, Michigan could have when Jim Harbaugh left. The problem was Jim Harbaugh left well after the season was over and well after all the coaching hires had been made. So they hired their assistant, and obviously that's gotten off to a rocky start, in the offseason, but we'll see how it turns out for them. But some low-level assistant is not taking the Kentucky job. Nate Oates, Billy Donovan, one of those guys going to take it. There's also, the Golden State Warriors are still playing pretty good basketball. Again, I'll throw up the stat again. We update it every show. When Draymond Green plays the full game, Warriors are 31-18. When he gets thrown out, they're 1-3. When he doesn't play, 11-14. Just saying, big game. Big game. Going to be talking about on Wednesday's show, Warriors-Lakers. Winner of that game basically gets the 9 seed, which would therefore mean you host the play-in game, the elimination playing game in the Western Conference, and put yourself in position to maybe get the 8 seed, which would be awesome for either of those teams so that they could have the luxury that, hey, if they do lose their first playing game, okay, you get another shot. You play the winner of the 9-10 game, whereas if you're in the 9-10 game, that's a game 7, man. You lose, you're done. And if you win, you still got to win another game. So that's a huge game in LA tomorrow. We'll see if LeBron, AD got hit in the face. Got elbowed in the face by I don't think he was elbowed, but he's hit in the face by a Timberwolves player. I don't know if it was Gobert or somebody. I missed the rest of that game last night, the Timberwolves beating the Lakers. And LeBron missed because of flu-like symptoms. If LeBron has the flu and doesn't play against Golden State on Tuesday, that's going to be really tough. Given how Steph's playing, given how supporting cast, like Clay was, it's Utah. Utah's playing horrible basketball, but maybe tanking for all I know. But Clay Thompson was awesome last night, was locked in. I did want to transition to the Milwaukee Bucks, though, because for those of you that may be new to Carving Up Live, one thing I really pride myself on, and one thing that I think is crucially important for anybody sitting in a position, be it a podcast, a TV show, radio show, whatever the case may be. Heck, you don't even have to be in front of a mic. In life, as a spouse, as a friend, as a sibling, family member, whatever the case may be, business partner, the ability to admit you were right, admitting you're right's easy. The ability to admit you're wrong is something that I value really greatly, and I think it's a sign of emotional maturity. And so it's something I try and do every show. Like, if I'm wrong about something, folks, those of you that may be new, and again, we're getting a massive audience for the show, so thank you guys so much for tuning in. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate it. 2 years ago, I predicted the Denver Broncos to win the Super Bowl when they got Russell Wilson. Like, my stock was, and it's ironic now, he's the quarterback for my Steelers. My stock in Russell Wilson could not have been higher. I'm like, man, the decline of Russell Wilson was because the Seahawks and the offensive line was bad, and Pete Carroll had the game had passed him by, and Seattle ends up making the playoffs with Geno Smith at quarterback, and the Broncos are a disaster. Russell was better last year because Sean Payton's a great coach, and I think he'll be better than Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky and Mason Rudolph this year for my Steelers, but Russell's prime days have passed him. I was wrong on that. Like, I was really, really – that's the worst prediction I've ever made in the history of the show, by far. Which makes days like today, and there will be future days like this with this particular team and this particular coach, which makes days like today very sweet to a certain extent. The Milwaukee Bucks, I don't think they could be playing worse basketball than they're playing right now. So they lost last night to the New York Knicks. Did so by a final score of 122-109. Jalen Brunson was excellent because he's an excellent player. But the Bucks in their last four games, this is unbelievable to me. Last four games, they lost to the Wizards. The Jordan Poole-led Wizards. Lost to the jawless Memphis Grizzlies. Lost to the Toronto Raptors at home. The Raptors, ladies and gentlemen, have lost 15 straight games. Milwaukee lost to them on their home floor and lost to the Knicks. A good team, no question. The Knicks are a good basketball team. Beat up, but still good. But still on their home floor. And the Bucks did not play well whatsoever, particularly in the offensive end in that performance. This is what I said. I also have a saying in the show, two things can be true. Two things that you would think could simultaneously work against each other can both be facts. On one hand, the Bucks made the wrong hiring earlier this season, bringing in their previous coach. This is the wrong guy for the job. It's like, oh, they won a bunch of games. Yeah, but there was locker room problems. We'd heard a number of situations, Adrian Griffin, the guy's name, we'd heard a number of situations within the Bucks locker room with Giannis, with Bobby Portis, Dane. It was just a mess. It was a mess. It reminds me a lot of David Blatt in Cleveland. Remember, Cleveland had almost an identical record to what the Bucks did like 8 years ago. It's the year they won the championship. But the locker room was a mess. LeBron didn't respect the coach. So they brought in Ty Lue, won the championship. It was obviously the right move to make. I didn't have an issue with them moving on from Adrian Griffin. I had a massive issue who they replaced him with, and that was Doc Rivers. And I'm viewed, I think, for longtime listeners and viewers of the show, as an anti-Doc guy, and I'm not. I think Doc's seemed like, by all accounts, a pretty good dude. But I don't know if he necessarily connects to a locker room. We heard what J.J. Redick said, ripping him first take like a month ago, talking about he always makes excuses, it's always the blame game, which... In a large respect, he's right. But assuming Doc Rivers was going to be the guy to put the Bucks locker room together, that he was going to be the guy to fix their defensive woes, that was never going to be the case. And was going to be the guy that took them from a good team that maybe couldn't get over the top. Well, I mean, they did get over the top in 2021, but the last couple of years, out in round two, out in round one, that they were going to ascend back into championship form, challenge the Boston Celtics, knock off the Miami Heat should that matchup or that rematch come to pass. That was never going to happen. Here's a graphic provided by my man Alfred Parsar Jr. Here's the Milwaukee Bucks since Doc Rivers became the coach. They're 17th in offensive rating, 14th in points per game, 13th in rebounds per game, 15th in assists per game, 12th in defensive rating, 14th in points allowed, net rating, 15th in the NBA, and they have the 19th best record in the NBA. They are two games below 500 at 15-17. They've lost four straight games, three of them to lottery teams at the end of the season when you want to be playing your best basketball. I have never in my life seen a coach, I've said it a million times, I'll say it again, that has gotten more runway from one championship, it's kind of Calipari-esque, from 15 years ago. 16 years ago, actually, when, for the record, it should be noted, that 08 Celtics roster, kind of stacked. I mean, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Rondo, Ray Allen. I mean, they had Big Baby Davis. They had a really, really good squad, that team did. It's hard to screw up with that team. Yeah, they got to the finals 2 years later, got to the Eastern Conference Finals 2 years after that until LeBron vanquished them in games 6 and 7. Doc Rivers has not been to a conference, much less an NBA Finals, a conference Finals. Since then, he has multiple 3-1 blown 3-1 leads in his resume. He has multiple blown 2-0 leads on his resume. And a stat that I gave on Carving Up the Context, our Wednesday segment on this show, a stat I gave when Doc Rivers was hired. Doc Rivers wins about 33%. This is a real stat, ladies and gentlemen. wins about 33% of his games after getting the third win in a best of seven series. Think about that. So best of seven, first team to win four wins. When Doc gets that third win, it is a significantly less than a coin flip chance that he wins the series or wins the game. That is horrifying if you're a Milwaukee Bucks fan or a Sixers fan or a Clippers fan in years past, or a Celtics fan to a certain degree, although they did win a championship, obviously, in 08, long time ago. And I think I'm looking at the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm looking at their body language, how they're playing. Doc Rivers, there's a disconnect. Again, we do. J.J. Redick brought it to my attention. Now I can't not see it. The excuses by Doc Rivers. Damian Lillard and some of the things with Dame. He's going through a divorce. There's some personal stuff going on there. But Dame doesn't seem to be all the way in. Giannis had a quote yesterday after the loss to the Knicks where he said, you know, we got to go back home. We got to figure out what we're doing. Giannis apparently is a big Legos guy, which, hey, listen, I respect. I used to play with Legos back in the day. But Giannis is like, you know, I'm going to play with my Legos. I'm going to place the little pieces extra hard into the frame or building, whatever the case may be. These weird quotes after the game. Giannis seems to be just searching for answers, just like the rest of us are. I am willing to make a bet. What's today? April 8th, Eclipse Day? NBA playoffs start next weekend. Not this weekend, but next weekend. I'm going to make a bet that within the next three weeks, Giannis Antetokounmpo will play his final game as a Milwaukee Buck. Because if you look at where the Bucks are in the standings, keep in mind, the Bucks won more games than anybody last year. And Miami gentlemen swept them. Took them out in five games. 8-seed Miami. Bucks are the 2-seed right now. If the play-in standings hold, they face against Philly. With a looks-to-be healthy Joel Embiid. We know Joel Embiid's history in the playoffs. It's not great. He's never been to a conference finals. He has won a lot of first-round series, though. Tyrese Maxey, you know, dropped 50 last night. Nick Nurse is a significant upgrade off of Doc Rivers from what the Sixers had the last few years. So good coach, superstar, MVP caliber player in Embiid, good number two in Maxey, good roster, Tobias Harris, the whole bit. I would pick Philadelphia to win that series. They could be the 3-seed and take on the Pacers, again, if the standings hold. Oh, I don't know. The Pacers lost one time to them this season and beat them pretty badly in some of those matchups. Tyrese Haliburton owns the Milwaukee Bucks. They could face the Miami Heat, who, you know, knocked them out in 2020 in five games and knocked them out this past year in five games. Jimmy Butler has a 50-burger on his resume against this same Bucks team. He gets a good defensive coach in Mike Budenholzer, who has his flaws. Budenholzer can coach defense. There's no question about that. No matter if they face the Knicks, we saw the Knicks beat them last night in Milwaukee, a beat-up Knicks team. Milwaukee's not getting out of round one. I would all but guarantee that. They are not even close to a title contender, which is why Giannis is going to play his last game in the next 3 weeks. He's going to ask out in the offseason. He was initially, if you remember Giannis last offseason, remember he was making all these weird quotes like, you know, we got to, if they show, if the Bucks don't show, they're willing to put the necessary pieces around to go contend. I guess I got to go leave for a team that will. And Milwaukee, in desperation, in panic mode, went and got Damian Lillard. Like, they traded Drew Holiday, second best player on their team, and a vitally important piece. See what he's doing in Boston. Drew Holiday's always been one of my favorite players. He's great. I think he's the best guard defender in basketball and is a very good offensive player. Went out and got Damian Lillard, who obviously is a better offensive player than Drew Holiday, but you have to give up most of your assets. Grayson Allen gone, some of your size. Damian Lillard getting up there in age. Damian Lillard's a clutch player, but doesn't have an extensive playoff history. If Milwaukee gets bounced in round one, folks, and keep this in mind, that it's a little Buffalo Bills-esque. You know the Bills, AFC title game 2020, lost by the skin of their teeth in 2021 to Kansas City. Lost at home to Cincinnati in the divisional round, and then lost at home as a favorite to Kansas City in the divisional round, like Buffalo. And you see what they're doing with their roster now. They're slowly moving backwards. That's literally the Bucks. Won the title in 2021. Lost of a second round, but it's like, yeah, we didn't have Middleton against the Boston Celtics. And the series still went seven, and Giannis was amazing. But then they lost the first round last year. And now they're in a spot where they could very easily, the way they're playing down the stretch, losing the first round this year. They are moving progressively back. And Giannis looks at it and says, okay, this is Milwaukee. We've had success here. I've got a championship here. I did what I came here to do, or was, you know, hoped to do when I was drafted here in 2013. I look around. Dame's getting older. We have virtually no assets. I don't know what the blank we're going to do at head coach next year. Knicks have a stable culture. Guys love Tom Thibodeau. We got Jalen Brunson and Randall, Josh Hart. It's a pretty good team in New York. They're very capable of potentially getting to the conference finals. I look on the other side of the country. I see, man, Golden State could sure use another second scoring option to Steph. Could use some rim protection. Team up with Steph and Steve Kerr's the head coach. And boy, they've won a lot of championships. Maybe get some more rings. Who knows? Maybe it could be a little LeBron, Anthony Davis-esque where Steph could pass the torch to a younger Giannis and he's the face of the franchise. Maybe. But Giannis will take an honest look, and he did last offseason, and the Bucks, to their credit, got Damian Lillard out of, because when you are a small market, newsflash, big superstar free agents don't go to their wives or girlfriends or whoever, their kids, and say, hey, kids, hey, family, pack up. We're going to Milwaukee. Nothing against that city at all, but it's not a primary free agent destination like L.A. or New York, Philadelphia, Miami, San Francisco, or Dallas is, or Chicago. It's simply not. It never has been. It's why Kareem left. It's why I think Giannis is going to leave. He's accomplished what he needs to accomplish. He got a championship just like Kareem did with Oscar Robertson in the 70s. But the fact of the matter is this. They're going backwards. The players are getting older. And we know this about the NBA draft. It takes a long time, especially for younger guys, for more raw players to develop. Doc, if he is the head coach next season, you could expect exactly what you're getting in the 32 games he has coached this year, which is average basketball. If you move on, now Giannis will have his fourth coach in 3 years. Like, at some point in time, it didn't work. And it won't be a disaster for Milwaukee because they did get a title out of him. They did get to the multiple conference finals with Giannis. They did get to the playoffs virtually every year. And he did make them one of the primary teams we talk about in shows like mine and shows around the NBA basketball landscape. But Giannis will have a conversation with his family. I'm sure he'll have to have an internal look at himself and think, Kevin Durant left and went to a better culture. Worked pretty well for him. Bron did it. That worked. You know? And I don't think I'm going to a limb say I'm on their caliber. Got multiple MVPs, defensive player of the year, finals MVP. I'm one of the three best players in all of basketball. Do I really want to cross my fingers that Milwaukee? And again, some of it is not being, it's not that Milwaukee's a bad front office. It's that they don't have the resources. They don't have the resources LA does. They don't have the history like LA does, or Miami, or New York, or Golden State. They just don't. So I think with all the chaos surrounding Giannis, and I give the Bucks credit. They've expended every resource they do have to ensure Giannis stays. But the fit doesn't work. The pick and roll with Giannis and Lillard, for a number of reasons, doesn't work. Doc Rivers, post-2012 of the playoffs, has never worked beyond the second round. I think Giannis is gone. I think, again, I want to reiterate this. It's April 8th now. Giannis Antetokounmpo will be playing his final game as a Milwaukee Buck in the next 3 weeks. Point blank, period. Like, the Pacers would beat them with their incredible offense. Pacers can't guard anybody. Pacers are not a contender. Clearly, they match up well against Milwaukee. The Bucks have only won one time in 4 or 5 games against Indiana. Miami, I don't know. We literally saw them do it a year ago, quickly in 5 games. Who's to say they can't do it this year? With playoff Jimmy and Bam and Spoelstra manning that squad. So I think right now with Milwaukee, it is a... I mean, folks, they're in danger of falling to the 4 seed. The 4 seed. There was a point in time where they were competing with Boston for the 1 seed. And Boston's up, what, 11 games? 15 games, I apologize, on Milwaukee as the number 1 seed in the East. Giannis is entering his 30s. If he hasn't already, yeah, Giannis has got to be in his 30s by this point. I'm in the prime of my career, and Milwaukee does not give me the best opportunities to win championships. There's other franchises that do, and that need me, by the way. You put Giannis in the Knicks with Jalen Brunson? Oh, that's a title contender, hands down. Put him in L.A. with LeBron and AD. It's probably the best team in basketball. Put him in Golden State. Steph, Giannis, Drake. Oh, my goodness. Steve Kerr coaching? Kuminga? Well, you probably have to give up Kuminga. But Miami, potentially. Maybe he does go to Miami. Teams up with Jimmy and Bam. Boy, that's a front court right there. Eric Spoelstra? A lot more attractive options than Milwaukee. There just are. That's where I'm at in the Bucks right now. Giannis will play his final game as a Buck in the next 3 weeks. Patrick Brown here at The Grid Network. By the way, please subscribe to The Grid Network. It's an unbelievable podcast network I'm a part of. And Patrick Brown writes articles for the Grid's website on thegridnetwork.com. Please check his stuff out. It's fantastic, fantastic stuff. Patrick, what's up, my man? He says the Bucks are getting what they paid for in Doc Rivers. Yeah, he's quoting our guy Barry Grant Jr., the co-founder of The Grid and the host of the All Even podcast. Please subscribe to him. The scariest movie in sports is Doc Rivers in a Game 7. Scariest movie apparently also is Doc Rivers when he gets his third win in a playoff series. He wins 33% of the time after that. It's I remember when I found that stat when Doc was hired a few months ago, and I saw, I'm like, again, when you do research and prep for shows, like when I do research and prep for shows, every once in a blue moon or once a solar eclipse, I guess you could say today, I'll find a stat and I'm like, there's no way that's real. That doesn't even make sense. And then you go look, I'm like, oh my God, that's a real stat. It's pretty mind-boggling stuff. By the way, draft coming up. Grid Network NFL Draft live reaction show. Not this Tuesday, but actually, yeah, 3 weeks. 2 weeks from this Thursday is the Grid Network's 2024 NFL Draft live reaction show. I'll be hosting it. I'll be joined by a number of our fantastic content creators and contributors to the Grid Network. So please check that out at 8 p.m. Eastern, or probably be about 7:40, 7:45 Eastern, 4:45 Pacific. I can't talk today. Standard time on the Grid Network's YouTube channel and Twitter account, and probably other destinations as well. Patrick, who's a Lakers fan, I'd take Giannis in L.A. right now. Anybody take Giannis? I mean, listen, he'll be this would be the biggest free agent, or he wouldn't be a free agent, trade bid war since, I mean, see the KD thing, the KD trade kind of happened out of nowhere. Like, we thought it could happen 2 years ago, but it was just in the middle of the night, like 1 a.m., KD traded to the Suns. Like, what? What's the biggest trade bidding war since Kareem? I'm dead serious. Can we go back that far? Kareem maybe was the last big, you know, big major star in the NBA to potentially get traded. And ironically, it is Milwaukee. I do hope it's not the same result as the Kareem trade and him ending up with the Lakers, because that would be miserable as a Warriors fan. But there you go. I think the four most likely destinations, Knicks to me feel like the most likely, Golden State 2, Lakers 3, Miami 4. Those to me feel like the most likely destinations for Giannis. In large part, again, some of that's assets. Like, Miami doesn't really have any assets. The Lakers don't have a ton. Like, you're not going to give up AD or LeBron. And by the way, I will say this, though. If Bronny does stay in the draft, gets drafted by, throughout a team, I don't know, the Pacers and LeBron goes there, well, then a Giannis AD front court would be necessary. Golden State's got the assets. Kuminga, Clay, draft picks, a lot of young players who contributed at a high level. Wiggins. To me, the only two untouchables in Golden State, Steph, Draymond. That's it. Because we know Draymond's impact. We'll show you the stat one more time. Again, the Warriors don't lose very much when he doesn't get ejected or plays in general. That's the story of Draymond. And Steph, we know what Steph is. Final topic, and it's a prediction. This is the first time I've done this, I think, since the Super Bowl, where I've ended a show giving a prediction. I do this all throughout the football season for a Monday show, predict the Monday night football game. And so this is like a little bit of a taste of some of my favorite stuff to do in this space. And that's predict and kind of, I don't know, put my neck out there is the right word to use, or right term to use. But it's kind of like, hey, you know, putting my money where my mouth is to a certain degree. And so the national championship on the men's side is tonight. The women's got 18.7 million viewers. Once again, congratulations to South Carolina. Hurts is a Tennessee. You know what the thing is with South Carolina that like makes not them winning the national championship. They were going to win the national championship. But the undefeated aspect of it, kind of painful for me as a Vols fan, is that Tennessee in the SEC tournament, and I'm not exaggerating here when I say this, literally was a second away from beating South Carolina. We were up to, I think it was 75-73 SEC tournament on the women's side, Tennessee, South Carolina. And I don't know what happened. There was a missed defensive assignment. Girl for South Carolina ran to the three-point line, caught a pass. She hadn't made a three all year. Banked it in to beat my Vols. So it's like, dang, Iowa didn't come close. NC State didn't come close. All these schools get walloped by South Carolina. And Tennessee was as close as you could possibly be. A one-point loss, and you had a two-point lead with a second to go. That's very, very painful. Patrick says Bronny's likely returning to college from what I've heard. Okay. I think that's good for him. I think Honestly, I think USC might not be the worst thing in the world for him to stay there, but he's already entered the transfer portal. But USC got Arkansas's head coach, you know, so who got them to a couple of Elite Eights. So I don't think it'd be the worst thing ever for Bronny, but curious to see where he goes and who he's able to develop under. Because I don't think he's NBA ready yet. I think we can all agree. Like, he'd be a second – absent the LeBron thing where if you draft Bronny, you get LeBron. Absent that, I feel like he's a – low first, high second at best. Like, he stood kind of raw. And we got to remember, too, with Bronny, there was the heart issue over the summer. He had the situation with his heart. Thank God it ended up being okay. But I think that's taken him some time to kind of recover from. Like, again, to a certain degree from personal experience, like, when you deal with a medical situation that's a little scary, it takes a little bit of time to get back to where you need to be. So, I definitely sympathize with Bronny there. And I think next season he's a sophomore. I'm sure he'll put on more muscle, more, you know, obviously more skilled, develop more, get a full off season, healthy, hopefully, and will be very impactful. And hope maybe enter the 2025 draft, and hopefully LeBron is still around, and maybe the Golden State Warriors can take Bronny James. That would be quite nice. But women's national championship, South Carolina knocks off Iowa, caps one of the greatest careers we've ever seen in Caitlin Clark, and begins a dynasty at South Carolina. Well, we could have another dynasty kick off if it hasn't already kicked off, and that is regarding the UConn Huskies on the men's side. So UConn faces Purdue tonight. If we can get the intense background music, because this is the national championship. It's not just a playoff game. Championship game tonight. UConn Huskies. Purdue Boilermakers. UConn tonight. A 6.5-point favorite. I'm actually kind of surprised it wasn't more than that. But UConn is favored over Purdue by minus 6.5. I got to admit, the fact that this is a 9:20 tip-off and has been for some time makes no freaking sense to me. Listen, part of what hurts the men's ratings at this stage of the tournament is not just that they don't have the star power that the women's tournament does. Women's tournament tipped off at 3 Eastern on a Sunday, like prime, like NFL, CBS, or Fox window. And then you got college basketball on CBS tipping off really, really late, particularly in the East Coast. The game's not over till freaking midnight. That's a little much to ask for your viewers. I'll be watching, obviously, but generally speaking, for your viewers, you want to make sure it's in a better spot for them to watch the game. That's just my personal opinion. I think you should tip off at 8 if it's going to be a weeknight. But again, that's just my humble opinion. UConn minus 6.5 over Purdue. So we know the Zach Edey story. He's a 2-time player of the year. Dalton Connect should have won it this year. Been dominant throughout this year in the tournament, is a double-double machine at 7'4" tall. But he's going to face a big-time matchup against UConn. Obviously, they have a big of their own, potentially NBA-ready Castle as well. Obviously, NBA prospect, NBA-level player, will be a lottery pick. And we know Dan Hurley has done a fantastic job with this group. This is a guy who takes over for two very, very impactful head coaches at the University of Connecticut, has stepped in, won a title last year, did so in dominant fashion. This year could win a title when winning all of his tournament games by 10 or more points. UConn to me, and this is the reason I picked them and why a lot of folks picked them to win March Madness. They're deeper. They're longer. They got a lot of NBA bodies. They got a lot of experience. They played together for a long time. A lot of these guys were on the team a season ago. Again, UConn looking to become the first team since Florida. And please do this, UConn, so we can eliminate Florida. A stat we can say for them in this regard. To win back-to-back men's college basketball national titles. Zach Edey will be effective. He will not be elite. This is a matchup nightmare for him and Purdue. Purdue doesn't have a whole lot of perimeter scores. They're not a good three-point shooting team at all. UConn is. UConn's long. UConn's deep. UConn looks like the way that an NBA, a really good NBA team is built. Now, I'm not going to go out like folks, like people I respect, like Mike Greenberg, talk about how they could beat the Detroit Pistons. No, they couldn't. The Pistons are full of nothing but professionals. The UConn Huskies are not. But that said, I think they are the best team in college basketball. They have been all season long. I picked them going into the tournament. No reason to abandon them now, given how they've been playing. Give me the UConn Huskies over the Purdue Boilermakers, 80-68. They will cover quite easily the 6.5-point spread. UConn wins the national championship, goes back-to-back. Dan Hurley does it again, once again, for the squad. And I think what you see from this team is a level of commitment, a level of a fight, a level of connectivity that has really transcended the sport in a major way. So I think this is a really special run, and UConn will win the national championship 80-68. I'm not saying they're going to go on a 30-0 run the way they did against Illinois, who, by the way, Illinois was a top 10 team, a top 10 level team virtually all season long. Like, that to me, I think, is what opened any skeptic of UConn when they watched the 30-0 run. I'm like, yeah, if they don't get hurt, they're winning it. They're winning it all. And so, listen, it's the culmination of what we kind of expected. And so courage of my conviction, you will have the number one overall seed in the women's side, South Carolina, win it. And the number one overall seed in the men's side, UConn, win it. I know everybody says they don't like dynasties, but if there's one thing I've learned, if there's one thing that ratings have taught me, and at any level, NFL, NBA, baseball's dying for a dynasty. Tend to be better for ratings historically. Parity, not great. NBA had its most parity in the 70s. Nobody cared. It was on tape delay. The NBA finals were on tape delay. You couldn't watch the finals live. Then Magic and Bird come around. And every single year in the 1980s, either the Lakers or the Celtics were in the finals. Ratings skyrocketed. Bulls won 6 titles in 8 years. Ratings skyrocketed. Warriors dynasty. Oh, I'm so sick of the dominance. KD and Golden State. Ratings were higher than they are now. Just saying. Patrick, South Carolina is the new women's college basketball dynasty. Impressive run and here to stay. Dawn Staley is an outstanding coach. There's no question about that. Outstanding coach, outstanding leader and motivator of young people. And again, 3 titles in 7 years. She has become one of 5 head coaches on the women's side to have 3 or more national titles. And South Carolina is going to be here to stay. My Vols just hired a new head coach yesterday. Hopefully she does a fantastic job. We're pulling for her. And it's a steep hill to climb. Steep hill to climb. Okay, first of all, before I even get out of here, I just want to say, because it should be noted, this is, again, for a live episode of Carving It Up, easily the biggest audience we've had. So for that, for everybody who tuned in, Twitter, YouTube, Grid Network's YouTube channel, please subscribe to the Grid Network. We have some awesome content creators over there. Subscribe to all of them, to their YouTube channels. Fantastic group of people, very hardworking. Subscribe to the network as a whole. Please subscribe to Carving It Up. And so, yeah, get the biggest audience we've had on the show. Again, I think some of it speaks to the rise in women's college basketball. A lot of it, though, speaks to the loyalty and to the support and the growth of this show and this channel. And listen, I cannot, honest to God, cannot tell you how much I appreciate it. We are nearing 1,000 subscribers. If we can get there by the NBA playoffs, that would be absolutely fantastic. So really cool moment, really special moment. So thank y'all, every single one of y'all who took the time out of your busy days to tune into Carve Up Live. Greatly, greatly appreciate it. And with that is all the time we have for today's show. Appreciate everybody stopping by. As always, be sure to catch Carving Up Live on Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific time, right here on Twitter, as well as the Carving It Up YouTube channel and the Grid Network YouTube channel. Again, be sure to catch Carving Up Live on Wednesday and Friday, both at the same time, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific time, Twitter, and on YouTube. Obviously, we got the stretch run the NBA season. We got the men's college basketball national championship game. Caitlin Clark's getting drafted next week. NFL draft is 3.5 weeks from now. April is one of the best months in all sports. April, October, like those are, you get a wide variety of a number of things. Football, basketball, baseball's early season, still as unpopular as ever for a number of reasons, Rob Manfred in particular. But tons of things going on in the world of sports. So thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. There's a lot of options out there, a lot of shows out there. So for y'all to tune into Carve Up Live, greatly, greatly appreciate it. And so, by the way, be sure to like, share, comment, and please take 2 seconds out of your day. If you're on YouTube, hit that big red subscribe button. It helps the channel grow exponentially. If you have subscribed, please tell your friends about it, your family about it. Just don't tell your sleeping cat about it. I know from experience that is not, especially today, he is not in a good mood today. that is not a good idea. So do not wake up your sleeping furry friend. Let's put it that way. But everybody else who's on two legs and is consuming sports content or any content of any kind, please tell them to subscribe to the show, to join the show, and become part of the Carving Up family. If you've not subscribed, hey, just takes a couple seconds. If you're on YouTube, right down there, hit that big red subscribe button. And you're part of the Carving Up family just like that. And just as importantly, and I want to emphasize this, just as importantly, be sure to go subscribe to the Grid Network. That is GRYD, the Grid Podcast Network, right here on YouTube, as well as any and everywhere you get your favorite podcasts, be it Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, any and everywhere you get your favorite podcasts. We dare to be different on the Grid Network, so please be sure to check our content out. Patrick Brown, you saw in the comments, write some great articles for the Grid's website. Check those out as well. Tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific time, the 8 o'clock spot, our flagship game show on the Grid Network. Please stop by. It's just a half hour or so, half hour, 45-minute show. We'll be talking the biggest stories in sports, in this case, Caitlin Clark, South Carolina, some NBA stuff, some NFL draft stuff. Leading up to that point, obviously, but 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, every Tuesday night, the 8 o'clock spot. I am the host of the show. We have a number of incredible guests, and we keep a leaderboard for the points leaders, you know, to see who wins the ultimate Grid Network, in this case, the first Grid Network 8 o'clock spot championship, which will be determined in a couple of months. So very, very excited about that. So tune in, 8 o'clock spot tomorrow from 8 to 5, or sorry, from 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific time, live on the Grid Network. All right, I will see y'all on this show on Carving Up Live on Wednesday, 6 Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific time, Grid Network's YouTube channel, Carving It Up YouTube channel, Carving It Up Twitter account. We'll see you then. Please stay safe out there. Please be sure to take care of your physical as well as your mental health, and please, please, please be sure to contact your local state representatives and senators to demand change for gun violence in America, no matter where you lean, right, left, center. It's a massive epidemic in this country that we got to address. And no matter what anybody tells you, there's no one solution. We've got to address it for the good of our brothers and our sisters in this great country. All right. See y'all on Wednesday. Hopefully see y'all before in the 8 o'clock spot. A lot of stuff. Congrats to Caitlin Clark on an awesome college career. Congrats to the Gamecocks on a dynasty. Congratulations to Dawn Staley and those women. And congratulations, most importantly, to women's college basketball. They are back and they are here to stay. Excited to see these players in the next level. Excited to see the returning players and new faces and players to the college women's college basketball level next season. See y'all on Wednesday. Stay safe out there. God bless y'all. Peace out. I'm not gonna lie to you though. I did want to see Caitlin come away with the title, but congrats to South Carolina. Thanks so much for watching the show on YouTube, and be sure to go click that big red subscribe button and check out the other clips and full shows from Carving It Up Live, as well as our other incredible content creators here on the Grid Network.